BlakeRadio.com.
It's time for the most knowledgeable and informative show based around the world of professional wrestling.
Thought we weren't supposed to use that word anymore.
OWW Radio, with your host, Mr. Personality, Alan Wojcik.
It's not my fault I happen to be charismatic.
Along with the loudmouth assassin, the Spud Guy.
I just act that way to get chicks, dumbass.
The resident Aussie, Mace.
I am not going to lie to these people just because it makes them feel good.
Guest starring Kevin Scott as Jamal.
What it is, my niggas, are y'all chilling for shit time?
What?
It's time for OWW Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network on our friends at UltimateSportsTalk.com. The numbers each and every evening we are here is 267-297-1397. If you're a part of the Skype network, you can add Sir Rockin, that's two words, and he will get you on the call with us tonight. During the 10 o'clock hour, we will be talking about a brand new promotion that's going to be happening in South Florida in the next few weeks. Three-time former NWA World Tag Team Champion Vito DiNucci of the Heavenly Bodies will be on that call, and also the one and only former NWA president and author Howard Brody will be with us. So if you have NWA questions, he's the man to answer them. We will be opening the show tonight with another interview thanks to the folks at Crossfire Wrestling. On Saturday, November the 5th, they will hold another wonderful event at the Tennessee State Fairgrounds. That is 625 Smith Avenue. If you live in Nashville, you know where you're going. It's where TNA Wrestling filmed up until September of 2004. This event is called A New Beginning. It will take place, as said, Saturday, November the 5th. Last week, we talked to one half of the main event of this event that $2 of every ticket purchase will go to Make-A-Wish Foundation. Fit Finley was with us last week. Tonight, we have his opponent. He is a former ECW star, a former WWE star, currently works for TNA Wrestling in their backstage and production area. The one and only Al Snow is with us. Thank you for taking time as you travel across the country. How are we doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing good. Are you driving West Coast back to Ohio, or doing it in reverse?
West Coast back to Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, wow. Are you doing
right
it solo?
Now,
you have a whole bunch of people.
No, I got a guy, my best friend, Barry Reckless. He's a world-renowned actor. He's in Witches of Oz, a theatrical movie that's just going to be released here soon. Was on Nash Bridges for 8 seasons, and he's riding back with me. We're 193 miles out of Albuquerque, New Mexico right now. So,
are you doing the old Route 66 back, or have you ever done
that? We're riding along beside the Route 66. Route 66 is kind of torn up and beat down, and you know, you really can't really travel it as well as you once could. So, you know, we're taking 40s, which runs alongside Route 66. We stopped in Winslow, Arizona, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, it's not a mighty fine place to be. I don't care what the Eagles say.
I think it was Bobby Troup was the guy who originally wrote the song about Route 66, and then Nat King Cole and Depeche Mode did it. And I know friends that have always said they're going to go Chicago to L.A., and I'm like, you mean you're going to do the interstate, dude? The railroad doesn't exist. It's a shame.
Yeah.
Do you prefer traveling that way, or do you prefer when you were working, you prefer road trips, or do you prefer flying? Like, when you were in WWE, was it more preferential? I know, from what I've read from Mick Foley's book and other people's books, correct me if I'm wrong, please, was the rule if the next town from your location was 200 miles. You were asked to drive ahead, or is it, what was the situation when you guys traveled? Was it more by car, by plane, or a mix of both?
Well, you've certainly fired enough off at me at one time, but,
I'm sorry.
Actually, what it was if the town was within 4 hours, we would usually just drive. Even if the office wanted to fly us, we would ask to drive just because it was easier to drive. And that was even back before all the security and all the problems that we have these days. You know, it's just more relaxing. You can do it at your own pace, do it at your own time. You know, you have, you know, just, and I broke in and grew up in the business. And, at a time when that's all we did, we just drove everywhere, drove 7 days a week, you know, drove thousands and thousands of miles every week. So we're used to getting in the car and just driving. And there's something sometimes still to this day, I like to get in the car by myself and just drive. You know, if I've got someplace 4 or 5 hours away, I'll get in the car and I'll drive for 4 or 5 hours and you just get away from everybody. You know, it's a little harder because of cell phone, but it's still kind of liberating. It's good for your soul.
Al Snow is joining us here on All I World of Wrestling Radio. He will be a part of Crossfire Entertainment's event in Nashville on November the 5th. Got a couple emails that I want to knock out here while we're waiting for Spug's internet to power up. This one came from Mike Liguori of Tampa, Florida, that says, I really loved you on Tough Enough for the 3 seasons you were there, and now I know you work with TNA Wrestling. Do you think TNA Wrestling should have a developmental program or a Tough Enough style show?
I certainly think that TNA or WWE or really anybody should have a, that's going to try to promote and, you know, have an ongoing wrestling product, should have a developmental program to teach the art of wrestling and allow their developmental talent to acquire the proper experience. I certainly encourage TNA to do that. Tough Enough program, I think that if TNA could, you know, get a chance to have a deal like that, I certainly think that they should. I thought it was a great, infomercial for the wrestling business. I can't tell you how many times I've had people come up to me from all walks of life that said that either they were never a wrestling fan or their wives hated wrestling or whatever, but that they made it a point to watch Tough Enough. And then when those kids went from Tough Enough to WWE, that they followed them because they cared and had an interest in their careers. So I think it was a great way to grow the audience. It's a great way to expose it. It was a great way to build respect within the wrestling audience that's already existing for the wrestlers and their hard work. And I think it was a great way to, you know, to build even more fans.
Do you, on shows like Tough Enough or if TNA were to have a product like that, do you think that the curtain could be pulled back too far at times, even unwittingly?
No, I don't. And here's why. Because I don't care how much you think you know, you don't know. It's much like a doctor. A doctor goes to school, medical school, for how many years, then has to perform a residency. The reason that they have to perform a residency is so that they take the information that they have and gather experience before they're allowed to practice medicine on their own. That experience is what separates them and makes them actually a doctor, not their knowledge. And for a professional wrestler, it's much the same. There was always a belief that Tough Enough exposed the wrestling business, but never exposed anything. Never showed a lot of the finer intricacies. It just showed all the hard work and physical effort that it took for these kids to achieve the dream. That was about it. The belief that we're exposing something is ridiculous since the wrestling business was exposed back in the late 1930s.
With TNA Wrestling and other companies, WWE has their developmental program. It was where you mentioned your head back to Louisville, and it was there for years, and now it's a few miles away from where I live in Tampa. When I covered TNA Wrestling from 02 to 07, there was always a rumor that they were going to do a developmental-type system in Nashville through either Bert Prentice's group or one of the other areas. Is there enough interest, do you think, from the office to do something like that? Or do you think the way that they're attracting talent out, especially the recent influx of X-Division stars like Shima Zion and Jesse Sorensen, is there a need for a developmental, or are the indies and ROH and other promotions doing that job right now?
No. There's a desperate need for a developmental. Desperate need for a developmental and a properly ran one. But as far as does the office have an interest in it, I don't know. I'm not in the office. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I couldn't, if I were to offer an answer, it would just be complete and pure speculation. That would be it. I mean, honestly. That wouldn't be fair. But I would imagine, I would think, and I would hope that they have an interest in it. But, I firmly believe that, that for the sake of the wrestling business, not just TNA or WWE, there has to be a developmental program because of the fact that there's not an existence of veterans as much as prevalent as now as there were years ago, 20 or 30 years ago, and to pass it along. And there's not the territory where the new talent get the opportunity to work 7 days a week with an experienced veteran and truly learn through that experience.
No, because being here in Florida, I get to hear all of the great stories of the territorial days where you could work here for Eddie Graham and then you could go out to Texas and work for either the Von Erichs or Paul Bosch, and then you could go to work for Don Owen. Do you wish that existed now for a lot of these kids?
Certainly, yeah. I think that when I broke in, those territories still existed for, probably 6-7 years, and it was the greatest time. I such a tremendous opportunity to get to be in at that time. It's no different than, let's say, for instance, Hollywood only had one studio and one singular director and one singular producer, and that was the only place that you could make a living. And then, therefore, actors could not go and make mistakes on smaller budget films or venues that would not give them that national exposure that would then possibly create or the image that would harm, any potential that they might have. You want to be able to have, a place where those guys can go and learn, screw up, experiment, learn from themselves, until before they're put on a national stage. And that doesn't exist anymore.
Al Snow joining us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. Don't forget, you can call in. Don't be afraid. It's 267-297-1397. You can also Skype Sir Rockin. We also have an interactive chat, and a couple folks have asked some questions here that... Okay, I guess I'll ask this one. I never refuse a question. Jersey Girl would like to know if you could go into what happened backstage with Jeff Hardy during his now infamous match with Sting. What was the overall feeling backstage, and do you think he should have gone on?
I think that history proves that he shouldn't have gone on. And as far as that, anything else, I don't know much else other than I saw him, being walked to the ring and he was not in the best of shape, and there was a sense of disappointment and also concern for Jeff Hardy among everybody, And then the show went on. We kept moving forward. That was it.
As an individual in the ring, if someone comes out to you, whether it be TNA or WWE or an indie show, and you know that there's visibly something not right with them, be it under the influence of alcohol or drugs or some other, item at that moment in time, as the other individual in the ring, we were told in training it is your responsibility to, one, make your opponent look good, and two, keep everybody safe. at that moment in time, when you see someone who is visibly under the influence come out to the ring, do you put that aside and say, I'm keeping myself safe and screw him? Or do you feel a greater sense of duty to make sure that y'all walk out of that ring?
You have to, the show must go on. So you, and you always have to, the number one rule in wrestling is you have to take shit and make shinola. That is the first rule that you're taught. So it's a live performance. Nothing goes perfect. You have to be able to think and adjust on your feet and handle any situation, no matter what it may be, so that you can protect yourself, the other person, and especially the interest of the business as a whole, because what you do will affect not just your way of making a living, but everybody else's in that building.
Has that situation ever happened to you where you've been in the ring and you've suddenly gone, okay, this is not good. I need to wrap this up to protect myself and also protect him. Have you ever been in a situation where it went into a shoot situation like that where you were ever felt you were in danger?
There've been situations that required I guess you could say a more direct approach and become even more negative.
You know, nobody likes being in those situations, either in the ring or just in everyday life. Is there any advice that you can give to individuals who may be listening, who are in the business, as to how to avoid those situations, or anything that they can, you know, things that they might be able to do if they find themselves in those situations?
The most important thing is self-respect. You know, just handle it in a manner that is respectful to you, that's respectful to the other person, is respectful to the business. I can't give a definitive, direction or advice and say this is definitely what you need to do every single time, because you just have to deal with it when it happens. And, try to not make it into, you know, people have a tendency to have a knee-jerk reaction and over-dramatize a situation and, make it a mountain out of a molehill. So, you know, deal with it and move on. And try to deal with it to where that, you know, and do damage control. Don't just sit there and point the finger and say, hey, this is wrong. Say, hey, this is wrong, and here's what I think we can do to fix it. Have a how about this? Don't just go, hey, this is falling apart, and, you know, what are you going to do? You know, it's your responsibility, too, to keep it together. So go out there and try and keep it together.
Got a question.
Or don't, if it's that bad, don't go out.
Since this event's in Nashville, we surprisingly got a lot of emails from folks in Nashville. One came from Cindy Larson, who says, I just watched the amazing Memphis Heat DVD and wanted to ask Al, a lot of the stars like Bill Dundee and Jerry Lawler talk about being in the territorial days and fearing for their life, just going from the locker room to the ring with people throwing acid at them and batteries and being stabbing. In the worst situation, when you were healed, did you ever have that happen to you, or did you start your career? Because I know you were healed for a while and you were faced for a while, but when you did the territorial days, did that kind of stuff ever go down with you?
Sure. I was healed for 13, 14 years. And certainly, first concussion I had was in Joe Louis Arena when they had fanned through a full can of beer, which back then they were tin or steel cans, and threw it at me and hit me in the forehead and knocked me out.
Oh, my God.
An old blind guy tried to cut me with a straight razor.
Wait, stop for a second. A blind guy tried to cut you with a
straight razor? An old black man, tried to cut me with a straight razor one night.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I used to hate to be the fans would throw milk duds because they were chocolate, and so they would leave marks, you know, and they hurt. They were like being hit with rocks. Or else they would ball up a cup full of ice and throw it. Man, that killed, which doesn't sound like it does. I've had lots of fans hit the ring, had a couple riots, you know, been chased out of town, which is scary, you know, dark country roads and, you know, headlights all behind you and you're thinking if any minute you stop, you're going to get, you know, hung.
It's one of those, dear Lord, don't let me run out of gas in this part of town.
Don't run out of gas, don't let me get a flat, you know, don't let me go off the road.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, it just, you know, had people threaten me at a gas station, you know, even as late as in 95, I did an angle with Ricky Morton, some carload of people, you know, in Smoky Mountain Wrestling that pulled up and while I was getting gas and jumped out of the car and was threatening me, you know.
God.
So, you know, so that's great. I mean, that's when you know you've hit a home run. When you are able to captivate, an audience, to the point to where they become so emotionally involved that they forget that it's professional wrestling, that they, you know, have stepped over that line. And, you know, that's the goal. You know, everybody wants to know if they had a good match or a bad match. And I tell everybody all the time, if you want to know, if you're the babyface and your job is to win and go over and get over, then, how close were you to having those people stand on their feet and wanting to come in the ring and shake your hand and congratulate you? That's a home run. If you're a heel and the job is to get some heat, how close were you to having them come over that rail and try and stab you? Because that's the home run. Anytime that you can get people so emotionally caught up in what you're doing to the point to where they physically take some kind of action or begin to take some kind of action, then you've truly hooked that audience, and that's when you're going to sell tickets.
Wow. Got another Nashville email question. This one comes from Nicole Eberstein. Says, Al, I've read Mick Foley's books, and he loves to put you down in every single one. Will there ever be an Al Snow biography, and how many Mick Foley put downs do you already have written down somewhere?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Go right ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I want to know about that. What was the question again?
She wants to know, Nicole Eberstein wants to know, in every Mick Foley biography, he seems to have pot shot jokes at you. Is there an Al Snow biography in the works, and how many Mick Foley pot shots do you have lined up already?
He's actually pretty meal. You know, think about it. One, I must be pretty well known for him to be able to use me as a way to make him, you know, make jokes. Otherwise, if nobody knew who I was, he could never make jokes. So I must be pretty significant. And, it doesn't really put me down. All it does is put me over. I actually should charge him for royalties to submit his book. Not to mention, if it weren't for me, this story would be about as short as this.
I've got a chat room question from Wrestling Fanatic, who wants to know, as a TNA fan, I've noticed over the last few months there is more of a focus on building your own stars and running your own race rather than a focus on trying to compete with the WWE. Is there a reason you think for this change, or is Wrestling Fanatic reading too much into things? Yeah, we're sorry, folks. We're having a lot of fun here. If you're wondering how did we get him on our show and avoiding the office, well, this is how. Because he's going to be a part of an event, as I mentioned earlier. It's called A New Beginning. It is by Crossfire Entertainment. Crossfire Wrestling, it's a Tennessee State Fairgrounds sports arena. VIP tickets are $15. The VIP ticket includes a meet and greet from 5:30 to 6:30. With everybody, and also some pre-show matches, which you can find out about at crossfirellc.bze.com. As we mentioned, Al will be taking on Fit Finlay at this event. In 2 weeks, we actually will have another member of this show. The franchise Shane Douglas is going to be here on November the 1st. Becky Bayless, formerly of TNA Wrestling and currently in WSU, will be there with us. This interview is still scheduled to take place, barring whatever Road Dogg, Jesse James, is going to be doing with WWE. But we're scheduled to have him and Kip James / Billy Gunn, the New Age Outlaws.
Wait, Billy, they're doing something with WWE?
Billy, Road Dogg has apparently signed a tryout to be a road producer for them.
Hmm.
Yeah, and also this just added to next week's show. In addition to the New Age Outlaws, former ARCO Age World Champion and current TV analyst Nigel McGuinness will be here with us during the 10 o'clock hour. Nigel will be here from 10 to 10:30, and that one came direct from the folks at ROH. So I'm very happy that Ring of Honor Ross is the gentleman who's been working with ROH.
We're getting powerful, man.
Yeah.
We are. I mean, legitimately, we're getting powerful. When you have ROH contact you and go, hey, you want Nigel McGuinness?
Well, I'll openly admit, I was very surprised when I made the overture to them and said, just out of curiosity, I know he's on the air, is he taking requests? And so, well, I'm going to see him at the TV, and I said, okay, fingers crossed, of course.
Right.
So, a lot of fun happening there. And
let's
as
take
said,
one more shot at Al, and
yep,
then
we're going to try to get him back here. But instead, this is what happens when you travel through New Mexico, and some of them ghost towns are near you. You have your reception go out. So
okay, hello. Sorry I lost you.
We thought maybe you got caught in a ghost town or something attacked you.
Yeah, no, unfortunately.
No. Did you find Thor's hammer in the middle of New Mexico?
I'm just now, right now, we are coming crossing into the land of enchantment.
Yes.
Welcome to New Mexico.
There you go.
Yeah.
Quick question for you, and we know you are infamous for this, so there is not a better person to ask. We have a running question that we ask every interview because we like to hear good stories, and so currently in the lead so far is Road Dog Jesse James with a story about him and this stuff that the British Bulldog and Lex Luger used to put on their chest and arms to make their muscles pop out before they went out to the ring that he was allergic to, and he apparently
yeah, that's what it's called, hot stuff.
Yeah, but he apparently dumped half the bottle out and then pissed into it, and for like 2 weeks they were walking around spraying themselves with it and they had no clue. So,
oh, yeah, a lot of times guys do that, yeah.
So, Al Snow, what is the best rib you have ever seen? Whether it be one you have pulled or had pulled on you?
I've seen a lot of really good ones. And I don't personally rib, even though apparently I have quite a reputation for doing so.
Well, the circle game's kind of a rib, isn't it? Or is that just a monotony breaker?
Well, it began as a monotony breaker, then it became something else. So, I would say that, one that I did that everybody knows about now, but not a lot of, is that, and I don't think anybody's topped this one, is that back when I was doing the infamous Pepper angle, they asked me to put a wanted poster, you know, help me find the dog poster, lost poster, and on TV. So, we filmed it for Sunday Night Heat, did a little lost Pepper poster, and on every lost poster for any pet, there's always got to be a phone number. So I put Val Venus' cell phone number on there. And
Sorry.
The first night, it aired Sunday night, we were in Philadelphia, and they had TVs in the back, and they got to that segment where they were recapping the story, and I ran out of the locker room, and I stood outside to listen, and, they didn't zoom in or anything on the poster or anything like that, but it was there, and, Val's sitting there, and then he gets a phone call, and somebody calls, and he goes, I don't know what you're talking about, I don't have, you need to call my mom, I don't deal with the dogs. So I started cracking up. I said, what was that? He goes, I have somebody calling about dogs. My mom breeds dogs. I think he got my number by accident. I go, oh, yeah, I'm sure. So the next night we were in Boston, and Vince Russo came to me again and asked me to do it again, only this time live on TV. I said, you're kidding. He goes, no. I said, awesome. So I went and printed up another, you know, lost poster, and I put Val Venus's phone number on again, and I then informed the camera guy that every time I pointed at the poster, he was to zoom in. So live on international TV, I displayed Val Venus's phone number probably 5-6 times. And then later that night, I got a phone call about 2 o'clock in the morning. You, what the hell? I just, the phone literally, he had to get his number changed the next day. That it was being blown up left and right for the entire night. So I had thousands of calls. People calling, asking about the dog and where I found like the dog and stuff like that.
You were in a locker room that had some of the best, probably the best River, at least of my generation, in the late Owen Hart. Did Owen ever get you, or did you ever witness a great Owen rib? Because BG told us a couple that and a few others have. But did you ever get any Owen Hart ribs played on you?
Yeah. Hello? I think we're losing him again.
Uh-oh.
Are you okay?
Yes, now
yep,
we got you.
Okay, now one question, I'm sorry.
Did you ever have any Owen Hart ribs played on you? Because we've heard tons of stories over the years that he couldn't let a good joke get by him. Did he ever get you?
No, he never. No, Owen never ribbed me, but I've watched Owen rib a lot. He was fantastic. He's another bastard, too. Just,
It was
like Indiana. Oh. Yeah, but Owen was hilarious. He was always doing something.
Nice.
Have you ever faced Fit Finley at all? Because when we talked with him, he was trying to recall if you two have ever faced off in a match before.
No, Fit and I have never wrestled. Been in the business for 30 years. This will be the first time that Fit and I have gotten to wrestle, which I'm very excited. I can't wait. I love to wrestle, to really get in there and work. So I'm excited to do it.
Have you ever wrestled in the Tennessee Fairgrounds, the old asylum, before?
Oh, yeah.
I was trying to research it.
Yeah, numerous times. Several times for Burke Prentice and, a couple other guys. Yeah.
If there's some folks out there that are kind of like Spug, who are in the beginning of their training, or they've been training for a few months, there are a couple pointers, being that you trained for WWE and you ran Ohio Valley Wrestling for years. Is there any kind of motivational things or demotivational things you may offer them?
One is probably the most important lesson is to focus on what your job really is. And that it's and the understanding that it's not a job, that being in the wrestling business is you truly are self-employed. You're your own product, and and that your job is to sell tickets. Your goal is to motivate people to pay to see you. That's it. Your job is not to go out there and have a great match. Your job is to have a match that will motivate people to pay to see you. You're a product first and foremost, and you're a toaster, a washing machine, a new car. And the wrestling match is not a wrestling match. It's an ad. It's commercial. And if you do that commercial right, you're going to motivate people to pay to see you, and you're going to become a draw. And as such, you're going to get to wrestle more often and be involved in the direction you want to be involved in, have more creative control, get more opportunities to go more places, all based off of just remaining focused on the idea that you are out there to become an attraction, a draw.
All right, we're going to go ahead and let you go. That way you and your friend can focus on the driving. So get everybody, don't forget, you need to get your tickets now for this event. Marcus told us that ticket sales are going very well for this. It is Saturday, November the 5th, Crossfire, A New Beginning at the Tennessee State Fairgrounds. Safe journey back to Louisville. Thanks again for being with us.
Thank you. And I hope everybody turns out and helps support a good cause with Make-A-Wish. And from what I understand, it's going to be a great show for everybody in the family. They can bring their kids out, bring their grandparents out. And I guarantee you, if I know Fit the way I know myself, I know both of us will do everything we can to make sure people get their money's worth that night.
You heard it from him, Al Snow. Don't forget, you can check out last week's interview with Fit Finley by going to owradio.com. You can download the archive right there. Coming up after the break, we'll get into some TNA wrestling, some ROH and Lucha Libre USA news as well. We'll be right back after the break on All I Will Wrestling Radio.